At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is August 13th, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I will be joined momentarily by Alex Pawlowski. We are going to be talking AEW Dynamite from Cincinnati, one I didn't attend and one that ended up being really, really good. I want to thank our friend Tim Traver of the Diecast Collective. Check out his stuff. I've got this little scroll on the bottom of our video. He's donated some like enormous super chats of late, and I wanted to give him a little bit of love, but I'm ready to talk to you guys about AEW Dynamite, and I'm not alone, by God. Alex Pawlowski is here.
Hi.
Alex, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm doing better than Hangman Page. Didn't get my face bounced off the hood of a car, so can't complain.
Well, honestly, listen, I feel like bouncing my head off the hood of a car because I missed this show. I didn't go to Cincy. Ended up being a good show, the kind of show that I would have really enjoyed in person. But you know what? I'm going to enjoy talking with all these beautiful people. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave a comment in the comment section after the video. That helps an awful lot as well. But get your super chats, get your humper chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful. You can send super chats, but if you are on podcast platforms everywhere, if you are watching live on Twitch, on Facebook, on Twitter, sometimes I forget that the vast majority of our audience is actually on Twitter, on Facebook, and et cetera, as opposed to YouTube and other platforms. Get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. We've got a lot to talk about. I also had some contract news over the last week as well. Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, re-signing with AEW for 5 years, Alex. We reported that over at FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. We're going to have a lot more contract news over the next week or so. Some updates, good and bad, on FightfulSelect.com. I do a Q&A there every week. We do Q&A articles there every day. Get access to a Discord server. Get access to this gentleman's show as well. But Maddie Nice says, sorry if it's been asked recently, been out of the loop. Is Jack on the outs with TK? Did he lose his passion for wrestling? Or is it just AEW moving on? Felt like the scapegoat was working. Well, I can't speak to whether or not he's on the outs, so to speak. But I do think that he'll be back sooner than later. That's what I expect. I think we could see him back maybe by the end of August, possibly. Like I've heard some movement on it. I can't say that it's specifically going to happen, but I have heard of some movement on it, but that can change from time to time. I know that he was discussed for a program with Kenny Omega around the start of the year when he came back, and it just didn't end up happening. And I don't know. I think there's an awful lot of times when talent are put on the shelf in AEW for extended periods of time. And, you know, a couple months is like, sure, fine, whatever. But it happens like in these 8 to 12 month increments an awful lot, Alex.
Yeah, it does. As far as like the scapegoat thing, I think that that part of it had a shelf life that it probably reached its end. But I think that like Jack Perry was doing some solid character work. I really enjoyed, honestly, a lot of the buildup to him losing the title to Danny Garcia, being like, you're not willing to go far enough to beat me. I don't have a soul anymore. I don't give a damn what I do to you. You want to play the hero. That's not going to work. And then Danny Garcia went to that place and was able to beat him, and then we haven't seen him since. I thought that'd be kind of a cool thing of like, you know, I got you to be the bad guy that I wanted you to be, and now I'm going to haunt you about it. But that never materialized. I think there was some good character work there. I particularly enjoyed the bus.
The bus was incredible.
I thought the bus was a really good touch. I hope the next time we see him, the bus just drives up to the arena and he gets out like he's been in a time vortex. And he's the same guy, like he hasn't been gone a day in his mind. He's ready to go back to work. I think that'd be kind of fun.
Dadbot OG sent a super chat. Thank you so much. But we kicked off the show with Hangman Page and MJF face-to-face. I thought this was a really good promo, a good back and forth. Yeah. MJF saying, you know, calling him Seabiscuit over and over again. Mm-hmm. And Hangman says, do you know how that story ended, dumbass? Seabiscuit won.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fantastic. And this was MJF saying that he wants to expose Hangman Page as a fake, as a fraud, as a phony. And Hangman's like, well, the way to do that is to challenge me well ahead of time. Declare your match like you need to. You're not getting a match without doing that, which has been a primary complaint of yours, Alex, is the idea of MJF possibly stacking this on top of another title shot. And as it turns out, Hangman Page has quite the complaint with that as well and said, no, you've got your opportunity. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah. It comes down to these two guys who know each other pretty well, making a bet that the other has the most fragile ego and can be goaded into giving up what they didn't want to give up, which is the title shot. In both cases, a guaranteed title shot whenever he wants it. Well, if you want it, that's the only way you're going to get it, says Hangman. And MJF says, I'll bet you I can rage bait you into giving me the title shot anyway, without me cashing in. And Hangman says, no, you're the one who gets rage baited. Every time we see, like, MJF gets rage baited constantly. And Hangman Page knows that about him and was able to do it. Called him a coward a few times. So he flew off the head. We've seen MJF do this exact move a few times. You can say it's like they keep doing it over and over again. But I think it's just a character consistency where he screams something out of just, he doesn't think. It's boiling within him. He says it and then he goes, crap, I shouldn't have done that. Like, he's done that a bunch of times. It's just who he is. And Hangman proved him right. And here's the best part about it. MJF knows Hangman is right about himself. And that makes him even more angry, which is why we saw what we saw at the end of the night. Because what MJF is really angry about is that he's so transparent. That he is this thing that everybody says that he is. He is a bit of a coward. He was going to stack, like, in case I lose, I can cash in on you right then and there. That's my little get out of jail free card. But that's not the way that would be right to use that contract. He knows it. He knows he's taking the easy way out. Maybe he hates that about himself. There's a lot of really cool nuances and layers underneath all that MJF facade, and he's showing a lot of it here.
And that's the thing. Like, we're 6+ years into the MJF AEW run now. So he's played so many of his cards and everybody can see that now. He doesn't have the, well, I can become a good guy. Everybody knows that's bullshit now. Everybody knows that he's like, they've seen him do this over years and years and years. And now we're seeing that exploited. Hurt Syndicate didn't fall for it. And then after witnessing it for a couple months, they were just like, well, goodbye. You're not just going to hold on to it. And Hangman Page is exploiting it as well. Or at least, we believe that Hurt Syndicate is doing that, unless, you know, it's a big swerve ski or something. But after this, at the end of the show, MJF attacks Hangman. It is a very vicious beatdown. He does slam Hangman's page. Well, not his page.
His face.
Slammed his head off a car hood. I thought this was good as well. I thought I liked the interaction. I liked some of the lines in that. I like the attack towards the end of this. And like, here we are, and it's a week and a half away, and that's the world title match. It's like,
yeah,
you don't need a lot more build for those two.
Right. The one thing that I would have appreciated is some kind of storyline mechanism for how Hangman would have had an opponent at Forbidden Door had this not happened. I feel like Tony Khan wouldn't go 10 days away from the giant pay-per-view in London without a world title match. He would have something on the books. I think that there's something here that is really, really good about waiting, though. About waiting until it's only a week out from the pay-per-view to do this. We all could see the writing on the wall. We knew this was the match they were going to do. If you announce it 6 weeks out, then you really don't have anywhere to go from here. But if you announce it a week ahead of time, you can do a really great go-home segment on the Dynamite in Glasgow, and you can get to that match, and everyone is very excited to see where that will take us.
MJF specifically, his next 2 weeks are going to be very interesting travel. Cincinnati tonight, and I would assume probably tomorrow, unless they just were like, hey, go on, go home.
Yeah.
Mexico this Friday.
Yeah.
Then next week, Collision, Dynamite in Glasgow. Then, of course, Forbidden Door in London. And then they're back in Philadelphia on August 27th. But MJF gets to throw that little Mexico trip right in there as well, because he is also working a major program with one of the biggest draws in pro wrestling today, Místico. You're doing that, and I mean, the match this weekend isn't even against Místico. Like, they're still working towards that.
Yeah.
But man, like, good for him. Good for him. He's getting out there. We then kicked off the show, and I kicked off the in-ring. And listen, I'm a big Bengals fan. I love it. I have mentioned this before. I've walked past the Andrew J. Brady Center 100 times before AEW ever ran it. Had no clue what the building was. Never gave it a second thought. And now it's become a great wrestling venue for AEW and NXT. And Jon Moxley, I'm sure, of his suggestion, starts the intro, and you see Paycor Stadium where the Bengals play in the background. Love that. Love that as a big Bengals fan. But I'll tell you what else I love, Alex. You forget the frustrations that you had with the Death Riders angle when immediately after the Death Riders world title angle, Moxley's like, oh, well, I'm not going to go and do like four straight more title matches and all that. I'm going to go into a program with Darby. And oh, by the way, I'm also going to start opening up Dynamite in the ring with these insanely paced matches with people who work a completely different style. And it is in what usually results in an absence. They couldn't afford to have him gone with Omega and Ospreay on the shelf. He's out here having these really great matches. And Kevin Knight, that drop kick where he ran up the apron and then drop kicked him and hit the floor. I love this. Let's talk about just the match and sort of his trajectory right now, because this guy has always been there for AEW.
Yeah, it's like the joke is that he was supposed to go on vacation in 2022 or whatever, and still hasn't gotten to. Can the man get a sandwich?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Resort for a weekend, please. But like, no, he's got to be here doing carrying the load. And I think you're right. A lot of what's great about Mox is when he gets to wrestle guys like Kevin Knight. because Kevin Knight will end up will do spectacular things. And then one thing he'll do is he'll just do a giant jumping thing from the top rope to the floor, and Mox will just catch him with a jab to the jaw, which sends him into the barricade, and now Mox gets to go to work. Like, Mox is a great ground the high flyer wrestler, because when he does that, it's never not interesting. He always makes that part of it the frustrating part for the viewer. We just want to watch the high flyer fly, but this guy won't let him. But he always makes it compelling. He always finds new ways of doing it. He's always vicious in a fun way. Like, this was excellent. I think that it is a great way to also, like, you show that Kevin Knight can hang with a dude who was just the champion for 10 months. And I think that there's a lot of potential in Kevin Knight being the kind of dude who is a sore, like a thorn in the side of Moxley. Like just a guy that feels like a kind of thing you could do for a while. Like what we thought maybe they were going to do with Action Andretti and Chris Jericho. Like that kind of a, but they never ended up really doing that. I could easily see Kevin Knight just being the dude who won't go away. That would be a really cool use of them. I guess they're already kind of doing that with Darby, but it means more than just, why won't this guy just go away? It's more along the lines of, I tried to murder him. Then he climbed Everest, and now he wants to murder me. That's more than just, why won't this guy go away?
My favorite part of this match, despite, you know, all the cool stuff that Kevin Knight did, John Moxley using a Darce choke, and specifically the angle that they use to highlight it, because
I had never seen him use that before, or anybody really in wrestling.
I know. And I mean, like, there are a certain number of submission moves in MMA that just honestly go kind of under you. A good old arm triangle choke. Like, the only ones I've really seen used are like when Braun Strowman would do one standing up, which isn't ideal or practical, but our audience, I'll encourage you guys to go look up a Martin Kampman arm triangle, where you've got a guy's head and arm in there, and you've got to walk your body like a clock away from them to apply pressure. That would be a visually beautiful thing for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
A Darce choke here really works for years. Alex, on the indies, I was using the calf crusher for AJ Styles, because nobody was doing it in pro wrestling. That's one that AJ Styles looked at and he goes, heck and dang, I think I'll use that. And it's because it was really, really good. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of very tried and true submission holds across grappling and MMA that I'm just shocked. Don't get into, I'm sure people can find a few times that it's been used.
Right.
But, man, I am so glad to see this one. And I thought they shot it beautifully.
Yeah, no, they did. I was looking at it. I was like, I've never seen that before. And also, I've never seen anything at this angle where they're like, okay, we're showing you this submission maneuver, and you can see at this angle exactly how it would put pressure on the carotid. Like, it's really, really good stuff. Like, I really like that a lot. Then, you know, obviously not taking the hold off. Bailey's got to get involved. Let's beat down Mike Bailey. And then the skateboarder with the body bag.
Another one. So I'm glad that this person said that someone needs to use the Twister. Matt Riddle started to do it a few years ago, actually. The Twister is a phenomenal submission. It works really, really well. Somebody's asking me which ones that I would like to see more of. When I did my match with Shaza, I went and trained with one of my catch coaches. And I was like, I would like to do like a leg lock that people don't do in pro wrestling. And he's like, oh, do a knee bar. Nobody does a knee bar. And I loved it because Kevin Koo of Violence is Forever was on commentary. And I'm glad he was, because he immediately called it and he marked out for it. So I was like, hell yeah, that worked. But there's still a few. There's I don't think the Von Flu choke, which MMA fans will know would work in pro wrestling, because it's all, you almost, first off, you got to put yourself in it. To be able to get in a Von Flu choke. but a good old Peruvian necktie, which I guess the Koji clutch is pretty much that.
Yeah.
That would be a good one. There are some Anaconda chokes that would be very good as well. I'll look through a list of things and I might discuss that for an upcoming video. That would be cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We've got Jim Dukers. He sent another one. It's very confusing. He says, Alex, always good to hear you with Sean the Rock Sap. So everyone can see you work babyface. Okay.
Yeah. Because usually I'm working heel because Kate's the babyface, obviously. So when I'm with you, though, I get a work babyface.
Someone is asking how you can put yourself into a submission. Okay, I'll try to explain this very quickly and easily. So a lot of first-timers, when you go into a wrestling gym, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym, MMA gym, you will, the first thing you'll try to do when somebody goes to take you down, you will try to guillotine them. Mm-hmm. And then because you don't know what you're doing, you're going to hold on to that guillotine, and the person that knows what they're doing is going to take you down. They're probably going to be in side control. You will still have that on. And what they will do is reach their arm under your head because you should have let go of that hold by now. And that will cause this to put pressure on your carotid artery. They will put pressure on your other one. They will lean forward and you will have basically put yourself in that submission. So if don't hold on to the guillotine if somebody's got you inside. It's a waste of time. You're going to get yourself tapped out. But Coy Stalling says, not going to rush Eddie back, but if he returns at Forbidden Door, I may probably die of happiness, NGL. To me, this is a perfect situation. And you know what? We'll lean into that momentarily. So give me a moment. Parker Hines says, what vacation could you see Mox takes? Personally, he takes a Jericho cruise. You know what my thought of John Moxley's idea of a vacation is, Alex?
What's that?
Wrestling on AEW Dynamite. Mm. That's what I think. I think this is his vacation.
I think you're right.
Like at this point, he's like, I get paid for this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's keep doing this.
Yeah.
But he probably goes over to Newport on the levee and goes to like GameWorks or whatever and probably goes to the Newport Aquarium. That's what I think he does.
Yeah, probably that. Yeah.
So Claudio's back. He attacks Darby, puts him in a body bag. Just... Mm-hmm.
Darby brought his own body bag. It's his own fault. He put Wheeler Yuta in it, and then Claudio shows up, takes Wheeler Yuta out, puts Darby in it, then puts Darby in the UFO in the body bag, and then drops him down, and then they're going to do the pilmanize his face move, and Will Ospreay's back.
Like, no music or anything. He just comes out. I feel like that could have got a bigger pop, but then he's like, hey, bruv, match, Forbidden Door. Since you don't want to face Darby Allin, we're going to do a lights out all-star cage match.
Yeah.
And then backstage, he's asked, like, well, what were you just doing? He's like, well, I had to go talk to Tony Khan because it just kind of promoted a match that he didn't approve of, which I like that they referenced. Like, he can't just make the match. And he's like, well, Tony ended up being all right with it, but he's like, you better call some people, buddy. And he goes, yeah, I did. I called Hiroshi Tanahashi, of whom later on, John Moxley's like, Hiroshi? Tanahashi, the New York financier? Like, one of those.
He does the Tanahashi? Hiroshi Tanahashi. I know, it doesn't ring a bell. Like, it was definitely that guy.
And then they ask who you'd find. He walks in, he sees the Young Bucks. And I saw a lot of people say, oh man, Ospreay's hurt. How do you do this? Gabe Kidd is promoted for the match. Somebody said, did we miss him getting cleared? People are even Luis in our document, Tanahashi and his lack of knees. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bump as much in this steel cage match.
No,
you might have to do some crazy stuff for sure.
But I think this is honestly a good to the floor.
There you
like,
go.
Like, I don't know if Tanahashi's going to jump off the cage, but other than that, it's just taking back bumps in the middle of the ring.
Let him do, well, I mean, here's what happens in AEW. He does the high fly flow off the top of the cage onto 10 people, and four of them get hurt and are out for 6 months. That's how it always happens, right?
Let's hope not.
Tanahashi's just like get me through the next 4 months. I don't give a damn. Yeah. This is probably the best use of Hiroshi Tanahashi at this stage of his career on this show.
A lot of people thought that maybe he would be the opponent for Kyle Fletcher. Give him a one-on-one match, his last match in there, but I think this is probably the better use of him. But it was funny that he was like, I got Tanahashi. It'll be me and Darby Allin. A couple other guys we got to sort out. And I thought we were going to wait and like show who those guys were in a special surprise on Dynamite next week. And they just announced it in a graphic. It's going to be Kenny and Kota are the other two guys.
Yeah. And it was just a little strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, okay. I'll be honest with you. I've got a person that reps a couple people that's like, where'd they get these graphics? Like, because they didn't watch Dynamite tonight. And in fact, I'm telling them now. They just unceremoniously announced it. <That's>, like somebody that reps these people, like, where the fuck are these graphics coming from? Like, what's going on? What's going on, bro? I will not read that message out loud. But here you go, guys. What are the MyBookie AG odds for this one that everybody makes it out healthy? I'm going to say plus 50,000. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's likely at all, but you know what?
No.
There's a lot of things that are likely. You can bet on them at MyBookie AG. You boys at Fightful, we are 34 out of 35 in lock picks. That damn Jelly Roll with his creative control screwed me out of being 35 for 35. But MyBookie AG, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. You can get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus with a $200 deposit. You can bet with Bitcoin. They've got table games, live casinos, slot games. They've got 150% casino bonuses, 50% sports welcome bonuses. It's football season, my friends. I am so excited, and I'm excited to bet with MyBookie AG, but it's not just that. WNBA, I'm a big Indiana Fever fan, my friends. Major League Baseball, Alex, you a Brewers fan?
Yes, very much so.
It's been easy to be a Brewers fan this
month. It has been very easy, yes.
Seems like easy money there. NBA season will be around before you know it. MyBookie AG, providing you the best experience from the best. They also have incredible support, so in case you need to learn how to use it or anything like that, they got you covered. Please bet what you can, only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. MyBookie AG, use that code FIGHTFUL. Whew. That was a funny mess. Well, then. Jim, Alex, will I confuse the Fightful boss even more if I call you WYDA Alex?
Well, yeah, there's obviously Tala Tonga, and I'm Wida Alex. I'm wider than most Alexes.
Oh, is this a bit?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well,
we decided that if there's going to be a Tala Tonga, then there needs to be a Wida Tonga. And we were kind of surprised they didn't make Jeff Cobb this Wida Jeff, Tonga. Yeah. Like, he's just wide.
Okay. Okay. I'm not in on all the lore, but I'm buying these goddamn puppets, so whatever. Alex, go get your free burgers from George Webb. Is that a Brewers gimmick?
Yeah, they won 12 in a row, so they get everybody gets free burgers from George Webb.
So we got a thing where if there's like 10 or 11 strikeouts, if the Reds strike out 10 or 11 people, we get free La Rosa's pizza, which is like, okay. Did you ever see that? When Boban went back to the Clippers as a visiting team and he intentionally missed a free throw, so everybody got chicken, which is what a baby face. Yeah. What a baby face. Love for Boost says arm bars should make people tap. They really hurt. Rarely do I see, even when Ronda Rousey was in WWE, I was like, the biggest arm bar specialist doesn't do a straight arm bar. She would do this weird one with the arm twisted sideways. I don't know. I wish there was more fighting arm bars in pro wrestling. Like, I'll give you a good example. When Ronda Rousey would do arm bars in the UFC, you'd see her hook the leg, because otherwise you're gonna kick out of an arm bar too.
Yeah.
You kick out to get your shoulders up off the mat and roll that pressure and stack your opponent. I wish we saw more of that. Wish we saw some of that in pro wrestling. Jambeard says, question about Dustin, since he's going to be out for a long time with his double knee surgery. Will he have to vacate his ROH titles? I would prefer they didn't, Alex. We could just freebird the trios with Sammy, obviously.
And who's Sammy's partner for the tag belts?
Here's my thing, Alex. Yeah. I think you should have the option of defending them yourself until you can't anymore.
So you don't get a tag out, but the other team does.
Sure.
And if you get pinned, you lose the titles.
Sure.
I mean, that's fine, I suppose.
Less stupid than some things I've seen. Yeah, I'm sure. But there's also two Von Erichs that are sitting right there. But MJF did it.
Yeah. I remember that.
That was so stupid. So stupid. Tom LaValle wants puppets. SRS over there texting Barry Bloom. I was not texting Barry Bloom. Barry Bloom was not the person that sent me that very colorful message. In fact, the 70-something-year-old. Alex Windsor! You know what that reminds me of? Do you remember the old, I think it was Alltel or AT&T commercial with a wizard, and he popped up and he'd go, "Wizard!"
No, I don't remember that.
That's a shame. Well, Queen Aminata, Willow Nightingale defeated Mercedes, Tekla, and Sky Blue. Tekla did tell Sour Graps' Kate that she wants all the bad bitches in AEW on her side. She got Mercedes on her side, and Mercedes even went over to their triangle and held hands, which I thought was fantastic.
Great. It's great.
She's like, that's the thing with Mercedes. She's like, sure, you all are scary, but I'm also one of the best wrestlers in the world, so I'm not that scared of you. Let me hold your hands.
Right. No, it's good. I think it's funny, though, that, like, Tekla says, I want all the bad bitches in AEW on my team. Then why are you always fighting with Queen Aminata? She's one of the baddest bitches there is in the world. You want her on your squad. Stop throwing elbows in her face.
That is a fair assessment. I enjoyed this. Queen Aminata, I like more and more every week. I like it when she headbutts people. I like that extremely violent side slam that she does.
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen, the side slam has been a move that a lot of times they would give a bigger guy.
Yeah.
That was sort of like an idiot-proof move. Mm-hmm. She does it, and there's no, like, there's no, like, oh, I'm just going to. Boom.
No. Side slam. She also does a swinging neck breaker that is, that breaks the sound barrier when she hits that thing. Also,
we
learned from Taz that, it's not Don Morocco. Who was the other guy who originated the chocolate kisses move?
Oh my God.
It's not the chocolate kisses move, but he did do the Stephanie Vaquer move that everybody
Adrian
Adonis.
Oh.
Like, who? What was Dino Bravo?
Adrian Adonis?
Dino Bravo, back in the day, used to do that Stephanie Vaquer move. I actually saw a film of it. Somebody posted it online.
Damn. Dino Bravo, that's a strange ending to a life right there. Let me tell you, that is an odd one.
Ending. That's
a very strange ending. The Windsor, Aminata, and Willow won as Windsor wins with a sharpshooter. And after the match, Tony Storm makes the challenge for Glasgow, Tony in Windsor against Mercedes, Monet, and Athena. That is a hell of a tag team match. This will be the first time that I believe that Mercedes and Athena have teamed since 2019.
Yeah.
And the first time on TV since 2018.
Yeah.
Do you know what that match was, Alex? Because there's probably a pretty good chance that you reviewed it with me.
I probably was, but I do not remember it.
It was Ember Moon and the Boss and Hug Connection against the Riot Squad.
Of course. Of course, and it was the Riot Squad.
Yeah. Yeah, my God. And it might be the first time, as I'm looking back, that they have teamed in a straight-up tag match, like 2-on-2 on TV ever. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty great. So he says, I hate the butt move. Listen, I like the head scissors driver, like the up and down thing. Like, I always thought that was a good move when Charlotte did it, but I really loved it. Charlotte would do it, and she would sling her opponent with her legs as well.
Yeah, afterwards.
She would roll through it, and such a great move. Such a great
I think it can be a great move when it's not used to, like, make all Mark's goon over it. It's like,
of course.
Yeah.
Jim Dukers. Fear the beer. Go Brew Crew. Oh, no. This makes so much sense.
Yeah, he's a Wisconsinite. Big Jim D.
I saw a graphic that said that the Reds have the longest playoff series drought of any team in American sports, and that just hurts me. Tim Traver, our good friend of the Diecast Collective, says, hi, SRS. Hi, Alex. Been having a rough day. Lower back bothered me all day today. Taking it easy. Hope everyone's doing good. You know what? I'll give you a little thing that actually helps out quite a bit. I know it's going to sound ridiculous. Lay flat on your back. Put your heels up to your ass. Push on your hips, like your thighs, away from your neck, your spine. Yeah. It will loosen your spine up a lot. And make sure you do your stretches. I got one of the stretch bike gimmicks that stretches your lower back. It is fantastic, Tim. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And I'm just going to leave this little crawl on all day, my friend. You've earned this advertisement.
Why not?
Cope beat Stokely. They had to drag him out, and Cope beats him up and starts talking to the audience, which is pretty funny. This is one of those matches where you can do that. And they've got people in the crowd say that he's short, he gets no hose, which, you know, we kind of glossed over last week how great that was.
That was a good point. And then the guy just, like, you know, what do you think of Stokely? And then he just repeats Stokely's line from last week, and Copeland thinks it's hilarious. But the one I actually loved was the woman he asked, like, does he have a shot with you? Are you serious? No. Like, I thought her line reading was very good.
It was very good. And Stokely took a great spear. He crumpled.
He took a couple of great spears.
He folded. I like this. This used to be a staple in professional wrestling. The you finally get your hands on the manager type thing. It used to be a big drawing point. Obviously, wrestling has changed a lot since then.
Yeah.
But I think you can still do that if you get a heel that is dastardly enough. And Stokely is very good with the comeuppance as well. What'd you think of the match in general before we get to the other stuff?
It's what it is. It served its purpose. Stokely did a good job with it. You know, it's the thing of, like, of then FTR comes out, and I'm kind of anti this whole thing because I don't understand the if you touch FTR, you're fired thing that was part of it. Like, I've never been behind that, but them coming out and him being like, come on and save him, and they won't do it, and so he's like, they don't care about you. And until eventually they do come down, they beat him up, and then, you know, Christian makes the save,
and that's what happens. And Christian comes out, Nick Wayne tries to attack him, and he uses, what's the name of this one? It's not Spike. I've almost called it Janice out of habit. and Nick Wayne gets kind of taken out, and the two, Cope and Christian, hug it out. It'll be their first time teaming, Alex, since 2011.
Right.
It will be the first pay-per-view that they team on since WWF Invasion.
Yeah.
Whew.
That's a long time.
Think about that. That was a WWF, WCW, ECW pay-per-view. Kind of ironic that this is Forbidden Door as well.
Yes.
They're going to face Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne.
Yeah.
24 years.
Yep.
Whew. My God. Yeah. I think the match will be good. I'm excited for it.
I think they kind of mishandled this in this particular segment. Simply because of the way that they framed it later throughout the rest of the night. Do you think they'll be able to put aside their differences? We just saw them hug.
That was dumb. They just hugged.
We just saw, like, my thing was, don't have them hug yet. Like, have it be a thing of, like, listen, I need to take out FTR.
Well, once they kiss, you'll know.
I know. We don't need the kiss either until after the match. But, like, basically, if you set it up as Edge says to Christian, listen, we got a lot of things in our past. I'm willing to put it aside. You help me take out FTR. But before that, to prove that we're on the level, I'll help you take out Nick Wayne, Kip Sabian. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. If you want to go your separate ways after that, no hard feelings. I'll help you out, you help me out, and then we can be done if you want. And then have the hug maybe even after the first match or after the second. Especially if you're going to be like, I don't know, guys, can they coexist? We just saw them hug. I feel like they've been coexisting.
I agree. Do you know who Edge and Christian competed against at Invasion?
In 2001?
Yeah.
Wasn't the Hardys, was it? That seems like kind of a thing they would do.
Lance Storm and Mike Awesome. Now, here's the important question. Do you know what match happened immediately after
that? Well, certainly I do not know.
Earl Hebner versus Nick Patrick.
Here's the thing. What's the date of it? What date was this?
July 2001.
If it had been a different month, like July 2001, I was actually overseas in England doing a tour. But like, if it had been a different month, absolutely that lines up with when I was going to a friend's house to watch the pay-per-views every month. That's very funny. No wonder I don't remember it. I did not watch it. That is very funny.
It is like shocking when you look at this card and you see how many people are like still involved in wrestling. Like, there's Edge, there's Christian, Scotty Too Hotty is a coach at AEW. Yeah. Like, they're all over the place. Wild. But Parker Hines says, you think Cope and Christian versus FTR main event all out for the titles? You think where's the Godfather at for Big Stoke? If the Godfather was not under a WWE Legends deal, 100% they would have to do something. Yeah. But yes, I do think that Cope and Christian versus FTR very well could main event all out, unless Kenny Omega is doing it, which I mean,
if we're saying that FTR wins this thing versus Brodito and then wins the titles from Hurt Syndicate, the only way I would think that would be all right is if the plan is to then immediately put them on Edge and Christian for one last run. Like, and after that, the team that beats Edge and Christian should be, let's say, younger than 35, and they should have a run with the titles. I honestly don't think it doesn't need to be time yet to take the titles off of Hurt Syndicate, but especially not onto FTR, unless the only reason you're doing that is so they have a 1 month reign, because we don't need any more Young Bucks or FTR title reigns for a while. There's enough other teams that we could use, enough young teams that could get put over.
Jambeard says the Jays look strong this year. They do. They're looking really good. I mean, the Reds aren't terrible, but they are just. Same as always. Hook vignette. We see the big light in the sky.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to tie this into the main event, but I need resolution as to what the hell has been going on. Definitely. With, like, because what I always say, like, whenever, for example, Dominic is like, apparently doesn't talk to his girlfriend while she's out injured. I'm like, what world does that exist in?
I don't understand, man.
Has Samoa Joe been trying to call Hook?
Right.
If not, I want to know, like, did he approach Taz backstage? And did Taz say, hey, that's my son's business, I'm not getting involved in it? Like, I want to know that as well. Like, some very, because that's just like a throwaway line. Well, not throwaway, but it's a line that Taz could say if Joe is like, hey, man, I've been trying to get a hold of you. I asked your dad and he told me to take it up with you, type of thing. I'm very excited to see Hook back. And with Ospreay limited, with Omega limited, with Swerve, whatever might be going, angle, not angle, we don't know.
Yeah.
You need some promising baby faces on this show as well. So very excited to see Hook back. But we get Hologram, Brody King, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hiromu Takahashi defeating Kyle Fletcher, the Young Bucks, and Josh Alexander. The Young Bucks are out wearing Bengals colors, and they end up super kicking Justin Roberts, which gets them 10K fines each.
Because he called them these guys and their partners. So they don't like him much.
Now, you know what I really want to see? I want to see the Young Bucks face honest to God jobbers. I want them to face like Colin Delaney and Marco Stunt.
Wow.
And I want the Bucks to be in the ring, and I want those two to get pyro. The other two to get like crazy pyro.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what I want to see.
Good. That's good.
But also, my big takeaway, Kyle Fletcher's jumping tombstone could be a finish. It's a phenomenal move.
It is a phenomenal move. He is phenomenal. That match he had with Ishii on Saturday or Saturday, whichever collision was, that was crazy. Like,
your boys at FightfulSelect.com also reported a good piece of news, Alex. The gentleman has signed a very long-term, very highly paid deal. If you are AEW, of course you're getting ahead of this one because this guy is big part of your future.
Yeah, no, this is a guy that you lock down for as long as he will let you. And whatever it is that he was asking for, that's what you pay him. He's so damn good and so damn young. You lock him down as long as possible. He's great. Did they announce it formally, or are we just assuming that it's Takahashi who's facing him one-on-one? We're assuming that. Unless
I think it's official.
If it's official, that's going to be a really good match. Kyle Fletcher is excellent. Takahashi is a fantastic wrestler.
There's a graphic.
That was good. That's going to be a really good match for Kyle Fletcher. He's the kind of guy that is going to set the world on fire with his matches. I'm really excited for his run as the TNT champion. This was a lot of fun. Brody King is mega over as always. Like,
oh my God.
I also wouldn't be shocked at all if FTR loses this match versus Brodito because they want to get Brody and Bandito on that card too. I think that would be a major deal for them. Just because of how much those guys are over, you want to put them in a big position. They might even be the ones to beat to beat Hearn Syndicate. So yeah, this was a lot of fun. Hologram also is one of those guys I'm like looking at and go, okay, so Hologram is obviously tremendous at everything he does and undefeated and never has had a title match.
At this point, just do Hologram and Hangman Page on an episode of Dynamite and have Hangman beat him.
Like, yeah,
what does that hurt?
Like, that's the other thing is that the longer you have him go unpinned, undefeated, the more it becomes like, well, he's got to win all the matches now. But like, if you actually have him face the world champion, have a great match, and then lose, there's nothing wrong with that. Also, the other thing about it is you have Kyle Fletcher, who has amazing matches with everybody. Like, there's no shame for Hologram to have his first ever loss to Kyle Fletcher. Even if you don't want to do for the world title, for that title would be great. I think you got to actually eventually just rip off the Band-Aid with the undefeated streak of Hologram. Otherwise, it's going to get into Goldberg territory.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, like, it's not... I often forget that he's undefeated, is the thing. Like, it's not like... It doesn't feel like a big deal or anything like that. Not me taking a shot at it, but also it's been 13 months.
Yeah.
It's been 13 months. Jambeard says, I think what happens is Cope costs FTR the match next week to set up the FTR match at All Out, and it's a stip match, maybe TLC, no titles. Well, what are they putting above the ring if it's TLC? I mean, this isn't like a SmackDown versus Raw game. Right. You got to hang like something.
It's a TLC match where you lose by pinfall. I don't feel like that works.
I'll tell you what does work, Alex. NordVPN.com/Fightful, by God.
It does work.
UFC just announced something that will help our international viewers because they still got pay-per-view internationally. Mm-hmm. But here in a few months, they can log on to NordVPN.com/Fightful, get that subscription for a couple bucks a month, then switch your virtual location to Paramount. Then you get all that included. By the way, yep. ESPN Plus, it's going to be very beneficial to have, you know, if you got cable and all that, but maybe you don't want to get ESPN Plus. You want to use Netflix to watch all the PLEs next year. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Yeah.
Sign up. Get an Amazon gift card after like 3 months or two months, I think it is. Get a 30-day money back guarantee. And you get all that WWE content on Netflix. I'm not just talking like the PLEs. I'm talking NXT, SmackDown, all that good stuff.
Yep.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out the actual NordVPN.com/Fightful link. If you're on the fence, you're going to go over there. You're going to see just a plethora of wonderful features, more than I can possibly explain to you, although I will. Great discount, 4 extra months, 30-day money back, shield your data from snoops and criminals, listen to your favorites abroad, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, available on all your devices and operating systems, great tech support, you know, all that good stuff. And hey, maybe you're just an AEW fan and you go, well, how does this help me? Well, you can pay like half the price for pay-per-views or TNA as well. And you can get on the AEW Plus service and watch AEW without commercials. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Luis, what are the TLC matches with a pin ending you're referring to? I don't remember those. N. Simmons says, great show tonight. Edge segment was weirdly paced. TK has to use Josh Alexander better. Wanted to get both of your opinions on WWE counter-programming. I understand competition, but it gets to a point. It's exhausting and annoying. Like, yeah. I don't get joy out of them trying to harm AEW. Like, that's it. I don't get joy out of anybody intentionally trying to harm somebody else's wrestling business. I don't like it. They're free to do it, but I don't like it.
Yeah. Like the idea of, well, we want to beat them in the ratings because we're head to head with them is different than you guys have already set up this thing months ago. We're going to announce it like 5 weeks out. You know, like that's a completely different thing, especially because it's going to hurt your own programming. Having to book for a September 20th pay-per-view and an October 2nd or whenever the Perth one is, like you're not going to be able to actually give the amount of time required to build those two things concurrently. And it's just going to make your program worse.
Tim Traver, the man, good God, says, don't forget some Fightful shirts. Tim, you'll have to drop me your address. I can send you some Fightful mugs and stuff like that as well, because you send us a lot of super chats, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I promise, guys, I am about to add some more merch to shop.fightful.com. I've been working on it. I just got to get access to it. If you guys haven't ever seen like our beanies and fanny packs that I designed, I'm quite proud of those. they look pretty incredible, those honestly. Like I did a good job of those. We also have Steamboat Willie Fightful shirts. Because it's public domain.
Public domain now. Also, Popeye apparently is public domain.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm stealing that shit immediately, buddy. I already got Mickey up there with boxing gloves and a steel chair. I even gave him like the comically unfolded chair upside down. Too. Like, there's some good stuff over at shop.fightful.com. In Simmons says the Edge segment, the Cope segment. Well, I think it was weirdly paced, largely because he's wrestling Stokely. So, like,
yes,
he can just beat up him and go talk trash.
Yeah.
Ricardo says Luis hasn't lost in 13 months. Luis is hologram, by the way.
Yeah, Luis is hologram. You've never seen Luis and hologram in the same place at the same time. I rest my case.
So we get the Swerve interview, and he gets narked on by, was it Renee, saying, yeah. Oh, by the way, I saw you getting checked on. And I'd be like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? Why are you saying this out loud? Why are you putting my shit out there? This is a HIPAA violation. Mm-hmm. And then Okada's like, ha, 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 your knee sucks. And I'm like, yeah, we didn't even know it was the knee.
We didn't know it was. That's a HIPAA violation.
I was like, how did he get this info?
Mm-mm.
Damn. There's all like, who were the doctors here?
Yep.
Like, there is no privacy whatsoever.
None.
I'm going to dig into this, find out what's going on with it. Man, it would be a big blow to AEW to have Ospreay hurting, Omega intermittently around, and Swerve hurt.
Yeah.
And then you've got just Hangman up there holding the title. Got to develop an awful lot of people.
And they have the horses to do that.
Sure.
You could elevate some people in a way that you need to, but it'd be really great if you could stagger Swerve and Ospreay being out.
Yeah.
So they're not out at the same time.
Then the main event, the Ops. Samoa Joe, Shibata, and Hobbs defeated LFI. How'd you feel about this one?
Well, I thought we were moving toward LFI facing them for the titles. That'd be a weird thing to do if they lost a non-title match. Yeah. So if we're not doing that, then I thought that this was a setup for who they are facing to come out and take them out. I don't know who that would be. I don't know how many trios there are. But I don't know why this is the main event. If it's a non-title match and the babyface champions just go over clean and nothing progresses in their storyline as champions, that's a very weird thing to put in the main event to me. I thought maybe Hook would show up, that Hook would come out on the stage. Like, we showed a little vignette for him. Here he is already. And then there's Samoa Joe, and he's like, hey, man, come down here. And he walks away again, build more intrigue again. But that didn't happen either. This felt like it was good. Listen, all six of these guys are really fun to watch. Happy Samoa Joe is back. Like, I'm just...
That was unceremoniously announced as well, by the way.
Yeah. But I think that... The Ops are great.
Hobbs, they are.
Hobbs, Joe, and Shibata is a dream trio, and they don't have anybody to wrestle. The one team that I thought was poised to have a really good long feud with them, you had them lose their first match. And then, so I just don't know what to do with it.
Jules Max says, speaking of merch, where are the puppets, Sean? I'm going to evaluate them literally tonight or tomorrow and look at which one makes the most sense. I'm going to weigh potential future earnings from said puppets
all right
into this
okay
Fortunately, as a result of this, the very public Freddie Got Fingered interview,
yes.
I truly hope that you all show up in droves.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
our channel surely being demonetized afterwards.
Listen, if the puppets are reviewing Freddie Got Fingered, we're getting 1,000 viewers live at least.
Well, I don't think it should be the puppets interviewer doing it.
The puppets shouldn't review it? I feel like the puppets should review it.
I think you should review it because, Alex, your hot rod review, although I disagreed with almost all of it, was one, the longest review of hot rod in existence.
I get it. Yeah.
Two,
yeah,
the best hot rod review, even though it was, in my opinion, wrong.
Yeah.
I truly admired your movie reviewing skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The puppets, the idea behind the puppets is that the puppets would review things when Kate and I don't want to. So you could suggest whatever you want, and then the penalty for that is that it's us, but as the puppets reviewing
sure.
it, you know.
But the real penalty is that I am paying for it and not getting reimbursed. This
oh,
is
you're no
Sean
longer getting
Ross.
Reimbursed? Oh no.
No. This is Sean Ross Sapp paying for it, not Fightful Inc. paying for it.
All right.
So because this is a thing that I want. Personally,
it is a thing that you want. Yes. How
You're
bad
gonna get
do you
a
want?
Sock with button eyes, aren't you, Sean? It's gonna be. Are the
this,
puppets made
this
of?
This is honestly what I thought he was gonna send us.
No,
I honestly thought he was gonna send us finger puppets.
No, I am excited for this like 11 p.m. Eastern review of Freddie Got Fingered one night. I really am. And no, the puppets are not made of mops. They are honest to God puppets. Kate had sent me the links recently. I'm going to look through them.
Honest to God puppets. I'm quoting you on that. Not going to get something here with like made out of yarn. I'm getting an honest to God puppet.
Well, I mean, listen, they probably do have some yarn in them.
Yarn hair
what are you
is
talking about?
Nice. Like, yeah, but I mean, like, you know.
What, you think I'm going to steal people's catalytic converters and harvest the platinum out of them for your puppets? Like, what
we'll
are
see.
We doing here?
We'll see.
N. Simmons says they could do Ricochet and GOA, which I just want to say, you boys.
Yeah.
At Fightful.com, FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 a month in the business, reported that Gates of Agony re-signed with AEW just to get the six men on the show. But it seems like the only long game is a BGC. They even teased it on Collision. Well, I mean, I want to see Ricochet doing something substantial as well. And helping this trios division, I think, could be substantial. I think that Ricochet could play this, like, he could really heal and get on the nerves of this team.
Ricochet and Gates and GOA taking the titles off of the ops to then hold them for a while and then eventually feud with Bullet Club Gold would be a really, really good use of the trios titles. They haven't had a really good use of the trios titles since the Death Riders won them at All In last year. They held them forever, rarely ever defended them, and finally they gave them to the Ops, and we were super excited for the Ops to be trios champions, and then they haven't defended them. So,
we'll see. Fair. I've actually pulled up the puppets now, Alex.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
I do not want... I always butcher the pronunciation of Persephone.
Persephone.
It's like... never mind. Sorry, these puppets just caught my eyes. Persephone. No matter how many times I say it, I read it.
Persephone.
Like I'm fucking Ron Burgundy every time. If I don't see the name and I'm talking about one of her matches, I'm good. But as soon as I read it, is a CML rep for the TBS four-way.
That's
like
great.
That.
That's
I like that. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up. Alex, tell the people where they can find you. As I
you can find me over on Fightful Select. Soon you'll be able to find me operating a puppet. But you can find me on Mondays reviewing Raw with Kate, and on Fridays reviewing SmackDown by myself, and then reviewing pay-per-views whenever they're on, and also plays. But on Tuesdays, you can find me with Kate on this very YouTube channel reviewing NXT, and we are moving right along toward a heat wave, which we will not be really reviewing since it's going to be Forbidden Door. So just it is
there. The you go. Worst. That's the way. I mean, listen, we'll probably do more business off of Forbidden Door. Yeah. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Please join me every day. I have a Q&A article. Every week I have a Q&A podcast. Every other week we have my God, a Grapsody show. I do want to read this super chat or Humber chat from earlier that I missed on the hump. It says from Nulak City. It says, guys, you're 100% on point. WWE product over the last year has been paint by numbers. Seems like Triple H started believing his own hype. And worse now, they're beginning to swerve the internet more than the fans. The actual wrestlers have been good. So I do want to say this. I saw a thing where, because you know, everybody's like, oh, the crass thing is a work. Let me be clear. It is not a work. This man went on his own show and said, hey, you know that promo that I cut that everybody thought was a shoot, including Triple H?
Yeah.
It was a work. And I want to make it clear that it was a work, including to Triple H, it was a work.
Yeah.
It is not a work. And then people said, yeah, and then the R-Truth thing. That wasn't a work either. Yeah. They screwed up and they fixed it. And then people said, well, the Rollins thing. John Pollock blew the lid on it within 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. We got one more here. Jambeard. Think of doing the 10-man steel cage match, Forbidden Door, so the blood and guts match is for the ladies.
That's what I'm implying. That's what I'm assuming.
I hope so. They have the exact right 10 gals to do a blood and guts match. Because all those ladies love getting bloody.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, listen, an Aminata in a blood and guts match.
Jeez.
Sign me up, man.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
You know what I say to that? What's take that? My money. Shut up and take my money. That's right.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.